God is blessing our church and increasing our congregation through the children that are born into our families, and God is bringing an increasing number of people into our congregation. And we rejoice on this Mother's Day, a day in which we celebrate God's work in us. Last Sunday when we were together, we had the joy of baptizing 12 people, children, teenagers, college students, young believers, believers who live at the shelter, young dads, and two members of our congregation who are 80, were 80 years of age. It's a tremendous blessing to see that. And our church is growing increasingly diverse. This is a good thing. It's a very good thing. On any given Sunday when we come together for worship, we meet together as young children, as teenagers, young students, middle-aged, and senior citizens. We're increasingly becoming different in ethnic background. We worship together with those here today who live in large houses, apartments, condos, dorm rooms, and some of our attenders are homeless. We have diverse economic backgrounds, and some in the room have very much and some have very little. Many have graduate degrees and PhDs, and others of us are not in our right mind or losing it quickly. Some are married, some are divorced, some are widowed, some are single. And such diversity is a very beautiful thing in a church, because it is a picture of the grace of God and the universal nature of the gospel, that the message of salvation is available to all who believe. Christ died for all, and it is a very wonderful thing when diversity is seen within a united body of worshipers. And we celebrate this uniqueness of our congregation. Don't you? I do. I appreciate the work of God among us. On the other hand, this same kind of diversity makes Mother's Day a little bit more challenging for us to bring a message to moms. While it's true that the majority of women who are here in the room this morning perhaps have enjoyed the privilege of being a mom, that experience has been mostly rewarding as a privilege. For others, Mother's Day is a reminder perhaps of the inability to have children, or of the loss of children, or of a mom no longer with us. And I want to share some hopeful news in the way in which God ministers to moms. An incredibly important work that moms do in our families and in the world today, in loving and raising children and in helping children grow up to know and love the Lord. And while this message is entitled God's Ministry to Moms, it could easily be applied to all of us and could be entitled God's Ministry to People Who Need God's Help, or God's Ministry to Those with a Big Job to Do, or those God's Ministry to Anybody Who is Seeking to Be Helped by the Almighty God, because He wants to help all of us in our life. So whether you're young or old, university educated or self-taught, rich or barely making it by, married or single, working or unemployed or retired, I hope you will perceive these three gifts that I want to describe to you as coming from God and available to you readily by faith. These are at your disposal. But in particular this morning, I am going to illustrate for moms. Being a mom is tough work, isn't it? It is tough work to be a mom. A teacher gave her second grade class a lesson one day on magnets. And they did all these little illustrations in the classroom and what a magnet does. And the next day she provided a written test to the students. And one of the questions on the written test was this: my full name has six letters. The first one is M. I pick up things. What am I? When the papers were turned in, the teacher was astonished to find that almost 50% of the students answered the question with the word mother. Mother. Being a mom is tough and often thankless. And I want you to know, if you're a mom, that God wants to help you. And He promises to minister to you in three ways. They are, in a sense, three gifts that God gives to moms. And I hope they will bless you today as you receive them as a gift from God by faith. They are wisdom to those who ask, patience for those who wait, and prayer is the gift for those who believe. Let's think about this for a minute. First, wisdom for those who ask. God delights to give wisdom. Boy, you might ask yourself, why does a mom need wisdom? No, you don't ask that. You know why moms need wisdom, because kids are strange. They're unusual. They're hard. They're challenging at times. And life is confusing and life is unpredictable. And you don't expect things to happen that your kids do. This is in a funny way, and this is in sometimes a very challenging way. You need wisdom. We all do. Moms have to be tough and soft. They have to be enforcers and forgivers. Moms have to be teachers, and they have to let their kids discover on their own and learn through experience. So we need wisdom. And where do we go for wisdom? Well, let's listen to the scriptures from James chapter 1. If you have your Bible, maybe you'll turn with me to the book of James, which is in the New Testament near the end after the book of Hebrews. James chapter 1 and verse 5. It's on the screen, so we'll read the first verse, but I'm going to read a couple verses beyond that. But let's read this together. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. This is a promise. Does anybody lack wisdom? You should ask of God. Why? Because He wants to give, and He wants to give you to you without finding fault and saying, "Dummy, why are you asking me?" Well, because you know and I don't. And asking wisdom puts us in the place of dependence upon God and the need for us to put ourselves under His authority and under His lead. If any of you lacks wisdom, ask of God and it will be given. The rest of the text in James 1, beginning at 6, says, "But you must ask in faith, without doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind." Any moms ever felt like that? Whoa, where are we going here? What's going to happen? Yeah, and we trust in God and we ask Him for wisdom. For if you're doubting, don't expect to receive anything from the Lord. Being double-minded and unstable in all your ways, come before the Lord as a man, as a woman, as a young person, as an older person. Say, "Lord, I lack wisdom. And I need it." And God will give it. God will give it. Now, sometimes He gives it by our making mistakes. Sometimes wisdom comes after we've blown it. And sometimes wisdom, sort of rarely in the work of parenting, does it come and say, "Well, what does the manual say I do here?" And you turn to the manual and say, "Okay, well, what do I do next?" And we'd love to find a verse and say, "Oh, this is what I should do." But when it comes to all of the details of being a mom, being a parent, being a student, being an employee, sometimes the manual's not found, and we trust the Lord and we wait on Him and we just say, "Lord, make me a wise person." You know, the book of Proverbs is filled with promises of God's wisdom. Let's turn back together and read a couple of those from Proverbs, beginning in chapter 2. And let's be reminded of God's offer of wisdom and His promise of the gift of wisdom and why we need it so. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 3. A great verse for you to underscore in your Bible, to have in your mind. "If you cry for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek wisdom as you seek silver, and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Again, chapter 3 and verse 13. How blessed is the man. We could say, how blessed is the mom who finds wisdom, who gains understanding. Let her profit, for her profit, the profit of wisdom, is better than the profit of silver. And the gain of wisdom is better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant, her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. Get wisdom. Get wisdom. Chapter 4, verse 5. Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. Don't forget or turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will guard you. Love her. She will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. With all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace, and she will present you with a crown of beauty. Everything a mom wants. Now, what's implicit in these words is the longing to be wise. The longing to be wise. The desire to be wise. And for every mom and every dad and every person in this room, I'd say that that part of becoming a wise person is wanting to be. And this may mean that we step out of the rhythm or the rat race and say, Lord, I need wisdom. I want your wisdom, and I need it. And God delights to give it if anyone lacks wisdom. I think what these verses, among other things, is saying is that moms in this room do not need to say, I have to go it alone. I have to be self-sufficient. What the scriptures are reinforcing for us is that the often tireless job of being a mom is not yours to figure out alone, but get into a company of people who seek the Lord and find wisdom in his ways and listen to his words, and he delights to help those who need it with wisdom. I got an email from a mom in Germany, and she wrote me this email asking for wisdom. You'll appreciate it, I think. Hi, I'm April. I used to live in Boulder a couple of years ago, but my husband and I, we were married at Calvary. We've since moved overseas to Korea and Italy. We miss Calvary, and nothing overseas is compared to Calvary. Anywho, I'm writing because I'm curious what you think about this long book article. It's about spanking. In the article by D.L. Moody, he says he did not spank his kids. I've read 19 parenting books in the last 4 months. No, I'm not kidding. I'm on the second read now for some of them. I've taken about 20 pages of notes on each one. Most of my friends seem to believe that the Bible tells them to spank their babies and toddlers. My daughter's 19 months old. I've not had a reason to spank her. She listens when we say no touch or stop. We've taught her sign language, or she sort of taught herself from the book we've read to her. So she signs back to us, help me, when something frustrates her, like not being able to get a book out of the bin. Can you tell she's a book nerd like her mama? Yeah. When I read this article, it made me wonder if my friends are spanking just because it gives them a formula or how to discipline. They feel it's justified by Scripture, so there's no reason to learn by any other methods. But am I not following Scripture by not spanking my daughter? I guess I just don't think spanking is the only part of discipline. But should I or should I not spank my child? Help! In capital letters. And if you don't reply, thanks for reading it anyway. I feel better knowing that I've asked a trusted Bible scholar for help. Oh, man, guilt trip. I wrote back 2 words. Heck yeah! No, I didn't say that. I said, should I tell you what I said? My response, well, first of all, you see here, how do I do this? There's no manual for this. What do I do exactly? And I thought, you know what? Here's what you do. My quick advice is don't be afraid to spank in love. Don't feel compelled to spank. You'll know as you raise your children, remain sensitive to the Lord, whether or not such discipline is necessary. Such discipline is never carried out in anger, but sometimes it's useful training for more self-willed children. Probably 19 months is too young for your child, but it's likely you will see some value for ages 2 to 6. But again, you'll be the best judge as you parent your child and remain sensitive to the Lord. If anyone lacks wisdom, what do? Ask of God. Does he help? Yeah. Is it a formula? No. Does it always work out well? No. It's a massive journey. And you ask for wisdom, you think you do what the Lord prompted you to do, and it doesn't turn out. What do you do now? Ask for wisdom. What do I do now? Okay, plan B. All right, what do I do now? Okay, there's no magic formula for perfection. But you ask for wisdom, and God says, I will give it to you, and I will give it to you, and I won't find fault for you in you for asking. I will say, thanks for coming. Let me tell you what you should do now. When we ask wisdom of God, we admit, I need you. Every mom needs God. Every dad needs mom. Needs mom and God. Every one of us in this room need the wisdom of God. Is that not true? If you have moved off being dependent on God, I'll just call you back. If you lack wisdom, ask of God who gives without condemning and says, I will help you. It is a beautiful gift, and wisdom will help you in all of your decisions. The second gift that God delights to give to moms is patience for those who wait. Patience for those who wait. Every mom needs patience, right? And kids have this crazy way of stretching your patience and putting you at the end of your wits. And moms need to take the long view, as every parent does, and say, okay, God, you're in this, you're helping me through this. But moms are the ones in the moment. And when you're in the moment of all of the details of helping children, it's easy to lose your way or lose your perspective or lose your patience. And if you come to God and say, God, I need patience here. I need the long view. It looks like there's no possible way this is going to work out, and she's going to be a disaster. He's not going to make it. How's it going to happen? And every mom needs to step back and say, God, give me patience to see the long view, that you are in charge of my kids, whom I gave to you, and they're yours. And I trust you for it, and I pray that you will give me patience as I wait on you. And I keep the long view in mind, which is launch. Out of the nest. Go. And some of you who are moms here today, you're saying, go, go, go. And some of you are saying, no, never leave. Don't ever leave. And the aim is that our kids will launch and be on their own and they'll be gone. And sometimes moms just need the view that says, okay, God, give me patience. And the scriptures are filled with the reinforcement that God gives patience. He is the source of patience, isn't he? For every woman of God who trusts in the Lord, patience is God's gift to you. And if you are facing something that you say, I do not know how this is going to work out for my kids, I say to you, every parent in this room has probably said of their kids, I don't know how he's going to make it. I don't know. I don't know where his life's going, where she's going. You need to step back and say, God, give me patience in the long view. Because patience and hope are gifts of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and patience. Patience is a character of heart for any mom who looks to the Lord and says, "Will you develop this in me?" We looked at this last week in this service, this verse from Isaiah chapter 40. Let's read it out loud together, and maybe it'll help us get some hope. "Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." This may seem like a pipe dream for a mom with two toddlers or two teenagers. You say, "Well, I want to encourage you to come back to the Lord and say, 'Lord, I need your strength. And I want to hope in you with a view that you have this in mind. You have my kids, and I just need patience. I need hope. I need your help.'" Paul the Apostle said, as it was a trustworthy statement for deserving full acceptance, that Christ came into the world to save sinners, and I was the worst of all of them. "And yet for this reason, I found mercy in order that in me, the foremost of all sinners, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example to those others who would believe." I mean, God is patient. And I want to help every mom have a view for patience in your life as well. Lucy and I were talking about some of our stories of needing patience with our kids. I've asked permission to tell this story about a mom who was persuaded by a five-year-old in her house to take a bike ride around the block on a Sunday morning before church. Before he got dressed for church, a bike ride around the block at age five. And mom said no. He said please. She said no. He said please. And she said, "Okay, hurry back." And he didn't come back. And around the block he went. Mom was impatiently waiting, not coming back. And she went out on the front porch, stuck her head out the door, and heard this faint cry of lament down the street. She stepped out onto the sidewalk and saw this crumpled heap of pajamas and bike and limbs on the side of the road, and a little spin around the block turned into a spill. And my wife, Lucy, went out, as any mom would do. She ran up to this little pile on the side of the road, and she said, "I told you not to take a ride before church." And she brought him home, iced down his arm, which he said really hurt him, and got him ready for church, gave him some Tylenol, and off to church they went, wiped away his tears. After church, he had a friend over. They were on the trampoline. And as he jumped on the trampoline, his left arm was like a wet noodle. And so his mother called a friend who said, "Oh, you don't want to go to the emergency room. It'll be too busy, too expensive. Don't do that. Just go to the doctor tomorrow." So she went to the doctor the next day. It seemed agreeable to her. And on the way to the doctor, he was crying about a toothache, and so he went to the doctor. The doctor sent him to x-rays, then to the orthopedic surgeon to get the broken arm fixed, put in a cast, off to the dentist. Tooth had to be pulled. On the way to the dentist's office to get the tooth pulled, he put a pen down the new cast, got the cap of the pen stuck in there. The pediatric dentist went in and extracted the pen cap out of that. This dear mom, her husband was on a fishing trip at the time. It's taken 11 years to get permission to tell that story. And this is what she said she needed: patience, patience. You don't know what's coming at you. You don't know what's coming. But what you know you can get when you turn to God, and what God will give you is patience and grace and the ability to see the long view that he's in God's hands. This little one that I dedicate to the Lord is in the Lord's hands. And God will give a mom patience if you hope in the Lord. And the last gift that God gives to every mom and to everyone who's got a big job to do is the gift of prayer. The gift of prayer. And I want to encourage every mom in the room to take a renewed hopefulness in listening to this gift that God gives. The gift of prayer for you to pray for your children, to pray that your kids, that God will work in them. Even if you feel like I've been praying for years, I want you to hear a verse from Jesus in the parables of Luke chapter 18. Here it is. Now he was telling them a parable to show them at all times that they ought to pray and not what? Not lose heart. Well, mom hasn't lost heart occasionally. Wanted to give up. How do I do this? Jesus told a parable about a woman who kept going to a judge, and the judge gave her relief. Even though he wasn't a righteous judge, he helped this widow. And Jesus told the story that if the unrighteous judge helps the widow who keeps going to him, won't your father do it if you keep going? If you've backed off praying for your kids, which I don't know if you have, but I want to encourage you. Jesus said, do not stop praying. Paul, the apostle in Thessalonians, said, pray without ceasing. In Ephesians, he told the Ephesians, pray at all times in the Spirit. Pray at all times in the Spirit. Don't stop praying. Always pray. And this is a gift that God gives to moms that you may not see the end result yet, but this is what I want to encourage you. Do not stop praying. Sort of the summary verse comes from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. And this is another verse that we'll close with today. Be anxious for nothing. Mom, be anxious for nothing. Wow, this is a call of faith. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the God of peace will keep your heart. The next verse says, the God of peace will keep your heart. The God of all grace will keep your heart at peace. And I want to encourage you not to give up praying for your kids, even if you can't see today. The Bible is filled with illustrations of moms of faith. We could go to 1 Samuel chapter 1 and read of Hannah, who prayed and prayed and prayed, and God heard her prayer. If you go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, you hear Paul saying to Timothy about his mother, I am mindful of the faith of your mother and your grandmother. And we have a picture in the New Testament of a man named Timothy whose father is apparently absent. At least we don't hear about him, but he has a mother whose faith in God is strong and a grandmother whose faith is resolute. And Paul said, I know that your mother and grandmother had great faith in God, and it's in you too. I want to encourage you. You don't know yet what the end result will be, every mom, of your kids and grandkids. But I want to encourage you, do not stop praying for your kids. I know in our own family, we are so thankful for the ways God has answered prayer. And if you're looking for what to pray for as your kids launch and go out, is pray that God will put someone in their path that will help them see the Lord when you're out of the picture. So thankful to have a wife who prays for our kids. And I had a mother. I have a mother. She's here today who prays for her 6 kids and 24 grandkids. I have had a grandmother who I believe her prayers are responsible for the conversion of my dad and mom, and then our 6 kids. And she was faithful to pray. And you may not see immediately the result of your prayers, but moms, don't stop praying. The gift of prayer is a ministry God gives to you to strengthen you, to pray for things that may take a long time for God to answer. But faith in a mom sees things that faithlessness faithlessness can't see. A mom with faith can say, well, I know God's working, and can see small blessings. And in the midst of trial can say, well, I believe God's going to work. And I want to encourage you, mom, don't give up. ask for wisdom, pray for patience, and pray for your kids that God's will be done. Let's pray together. God, I pray that you'll strengthen the heart of every mom in this room to have hope in the wonderful, blessed ministry of God in her life. And if today is the day that she needs to come back and believe that you are the source of all wisdom, I pray that you'll gently prompt her to believe that. If today is a day that her hope needs to be bolstered to trust in the Lord and to wait on the Lord, I pray today will be the day that you give her a renewed vision of God filling her heart with patience and the long view. And I pray today, God, that you'll encourage every one of us in this room to be prayerful, to trust in the Lord with a hopefulness of waiting on the Lord in prayer and trusting you for our children. God, I'm so grateful that you answer prayer, that you give wisdom, that you give patience and endurance and a sustained love in family. And I pray that that will be our experience here as a church and in every family. Would you bless every mom? I pray especially for those moms whose kids are struggling on the lam, wandering away from home. I pray for hopefulness, confidence in faith, and a renewed rest in the Lord that their children belong to you. And I pray for kids, young kids, teenagers, and adult children who need to come back to the Lord. And I pray that this will be a day of return as we pray for our kids, as we watch you work in the hearts of children and grandchildren. And Lord, I pray that you'll continue to build strong families and strong marriages and strong moms of faith who will lead us to believe God answers prayer and God is the source of all wisdom and God gives hope in every circumstance. Thank you for the awesome privilege of having moms in our church who love God and follow Him. And I pray your blessing will be upon all. On them especially today, but on all of us as we trust in you with all of our heart. May it be true of us, O God, that we can say, it is the Lord God we love with all of our heart and soul and strength. And this is true of our families and our marriages. And we pray you'll do this for your glory and for what ultimately will be our good. In Jesus' name we pray together. Amen.